Welcome into Smooth Operators with your hosts, Noah, Griggs, and Ben, going through the world of Formula One.
If you want to interact with the show today, you can tweet at us at Noah_Phillips, at Junior_McClurkin, and at DGriggsB. It's time for the green flag, and it's lights out, and away we go. And welcome back, everybody, to the Smoothest Operators. My good friend, my name is Ben McClurkin, and joined alongside me today is Griggs Blankenberg and Noah Phillips. And guys, we had a race weekend, Chinese Grand Prix. I got to say, it has grown on me since the last time I watched the race. I know the race itself was pretty tame, except for some of the stuff that we'll talk about, some incidents and penalties and all that good stuff. But as far as pure racing goes, it was one of the better tracks. Most of the passes occurring in the corners always makes me happy. Overtake numbers were down, but corner overtaking was up. So I'm a happy man. Without further ado, we will get right into the action with our race recap. So, Griggs, you want to run through it?
Sure thing. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. First off, we had a week break because of Weagle Day. But yeah, the Formula One Lenovo Chinese Grand Prix 2024 was won by Mr. Max Verstappen with a time of 1:40.52.554. He takes the 25 points. Coming in second place for McLaren, number four, Lando Norris, finishing 13.773 seconds behind Verstappen. And then coming in third, it's the other Red Bull, number 11, Sergio Perez, 15 points for him, 19.160 seconds behind Verstappen, 56 laps. The other point scorers were in fourth place, Charles Leclerc, fifth place, Carlos Sainz, sixth, George Russell, seventh, Fernando Alonso, eighth, Oscar Piastri, ninth, Lewis Hamilton, and finishing in 10th for Haas, Nico Hülkenberg. So that's how the point scorers line up. Three DNFs in this race, Daniel Ricciardo and Yuki Tsunoda, both racing points out for this race.
Racing point?
you
mean racing
Honda
bull?
Yes, Racing Bull, Honda, Visa, Cash App, whatever you want to call them this week. Yuki finished 26 laps, Daniel finished 33, and Valtteri for Kick Sauber finished 19 laps. So three DNFs in this one. Logan Sargeant bringing up the rear in last place. Zhou Guanyu in his home Grand Prix comes in at 14th, finishing basically a minute and 10 seconds behind Verstappen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the Chinese Grand Prix. It was a little bit different because I went to the lake last weekend and getting up to watch, trying to watch that fight after the...
Are you trying to confess that you did not watch the race?
I watched part of the race, yeah. I was in the Eastern time zone, so it was a much, much more difficult.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
But you were on the lake?
2 a.m. is more difficult than 1 a.m.? How?
It was 3 a.m.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forget about how time zones work sometimes.
We've talked about on the show. I usually like the races to start later in the evening. However, when it gets to that danger zone right there, that's when it gets a little bit rough.
Yeah, it was still brutal. At least the race next week is going to be in our time zone. Or I guess not next week. Yeah, next week. Next week.
It'll be my time zone, not your time zone.
It'll be in your time zone, and I'm guessing you'll be home by then, right?
Maybe not. I'm not sure yet.
We'll see.
Usually my tradition has been I have two races in the time zone of my choosing throughout the year. Actually, three, I think. I think Mexico City's in the central time zone.
It is.
And so, but yeah, so this race, I mean, off the start, I mean, it was a clean start for almost all the cars. They ended up, I remember watching the start of that one kind of
start was pretty exciting.
Out. I mean, this is an interesting track, especially for someone first time watching this. Since, again, I'm new-ish to Formula One. This would be my third full season watching it, so not the Chinese Grand Prix, not having the last 2 years, or technically since 2019.
Yeah,
so first time back in 5 years, so I really enjoyed it. It's kind of like you said, a lot for those overtakes, and didn't really have a lot of those like straight overtakes we sometimes talk about.
Yeah, it was not primarily DRS passing. Most of the passes went on the outside or inside of turn one, which is a great spot to do it. And, you know, the Aston Martin really contributed to a lot of that because of how fast they were on the straights and how short the straights were. And so DRS doesn't make that big of a difference like it will in Monza or in other tracks. Monza is just going to be DRS passing, basically.
Sorry.
Amateur hour, man. Come on, man.
I lost my train of thought.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I lost my train of thought.
Auburn basketball.
Hold on.
Posted something.
Where was it?
You never even talked today, Noah.
Are you going to catch your train thought, man?
Yes. Okay, I'm back on it. So one thing that I do like about Japan is that, or not Japan, but China, and in Japan too, but China does it well as well. Most of that runoff area is gravel and grass. So like you saw people getting caught on the exit of the final corner. You know, Lando's lap to put him. I guess was it pole position or was it P2?
For who?
For Lando Norris.
That he was in the pole for the sprint.
Yes, that lap that he put in for sprint pole was crazy. And yeah, we did have a sprint race. It felt a little bit more connected. I'm going to probably make all of you mad by thinking again about what I said about sprint races. I kind of like this one. It was good. It was a good sprint race. It was good sprint qualifying. I like that we only had one practice session so that nobody had anything figured out and Mercedes could find more ways to screw it up. It was good. Yeah, Mercedes did step backwards though, didn't they? On Friday, they looked pretty put together, you know, going top five. And then between Friday morning and Friday afternoon, there was some kind of disconnect. I don't know if y'all saw my tweet, but the grass also caught it on fire.
Hmm. I remember, on the circuit. You tweet like so randomly that it kind of just goes into my timeline because you're not on the Twitter machine.
But yeah. So you're like my dad. That's how you have the same tweet schedule.
And Noah has the same tweets always.
Walked out of Waffle House for
the Waffle House one is one of my favorites. But yeah, no, qualifying was like really bad. I mean, Lewis Hamilton, again, he seemed to do this once or twice the last couple of years, out in Q1, finishing 18th. Yeah. Only had a Yuki Tsunoda and Logan Sargeant
in the race.
Behind Kevin Magnussen. And then
the race was not, I mean, you know.
I mean, he stepped back up, but still, it wasn't like, for him, 2 points is not good for him. No. He's still talking about like how he wants to win and how Mercedes wants to get one more win with him before he leaves to go to Ferrari. But at this point, especially with the way that car kind of handled, I mean, usually Miami, and then usually the teams start to upgrade in the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And then Monaco happens. Like last year, remember, they were going to do it in Imola, and then the flooding happens. We didn't have Imola. And so they tried to do it in Monaco. Didn't work. Then they had to go back for the next race. So don't really think they're going to bring any upgrades to Miami. Maybe when they go back more across the pond that way.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with them. They every weekend seem to start really strong and then just try and tweak that front end downforce and they lose it.
George Russell's currently in seventh in the driver's standings with 33 points. Lewis Hamilton in ninth with 19 points. He is now 11 points behind Fernando Alonso. Sorry, 12 points behind Fernando Alonso.
Wow. Getting beaten by a customer. But yeah, what I was saying about Mercedes, the problem is when they have a setup on Friday, their drivers will say, hey, I'd like a little bit more rotation into the corner. So you add front end downforce, you get more rotation. You remove rear wing downforce, you get more rotation. So they do that, and then by the time it's qualifying, they've completely overdone it, and now that car is an absolute beast to drive because there is no grip, basically. And so the car is harder on its tires, and so the car warms up its tires less efficiently, I'd say. It's just like when they get the balance off, the balance is really off, and that car is super peaky. So if they could find that nice balance in their setup, it would really change quite a lot. But currently, they're just not there. So,
and then in the constructor standings, they're currently in fourth with 52 points behind Mercedes, McLaren, Ferrari, and Red Bull. They're only 12 points above Aston Martin. That's basically the Stroll effect. And then, yeah, I mean, this is not a good race for Mercedes, especially if they're going to have – Aston ends up passing them, they're going to have to fight from fifth with already, a third through the season after Miami, basically. Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do.
They do. And other stuff we want to talk about, the Stroll Ricciardo.
Yeah.
Before we get a break real quick.
There was some heated conversation there.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, not great. Especially when I understand Daniel's frustration, too, because, again, it's the Red Bull family where they're always talking about, like, you – the reports we were talking about where he had to perform or he was going to be out. And so now that doesn't help him. Yeah, that buys him a little pass. Well, Stroll hit him, but still, it's not helping his case at all.
No. I personally don't think it's Alonso's fault at all. If you watch the replay, did I say Ricciardo or Alonso? Anyways, if you watch the replay, Fernando Alonso, six cars ahead, causes the field to back up because he comes in a little bit hotter than he thought, so he needs to brake more, and so backs up the field a little bit, and everyone else spots it except for Lance Stroll. And Lance Stroll runs right into the back of Ricciardo. And both of them at that point had been running a really good race. Stroll absolutely ruins Ricciardo's weekend and his own by just complete chance. It's no one's fault, but it's kind of Stroll's fault. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's not supposed to be that way, and the cars shouldn't back one another up, but that's just what happened. And, you know, it kind of is what it is. But Ricciardo came after Lance Stroll and said some very, how do I say this, heated comments about him. Guys, Nico Hülkenberg is going to Audi.
Which is what we are going to talk about.
Let's talk about
next.
That when we come back.
So do not go anywhere. When we come back, we have some news going on in both the driver market as well as the constructor market. What could we be talking about? Well, Ben already gave you a preview, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM.
Hello and welcome back into Smooth Operators on Wheel 91.1 FM, the exclusive Formula One talk show here on the radio waves. And we got ourselves one heck of a segment as it's Nico Hülkenberg. It's going somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. Going somewhere. These two cool cats might know where they're going.
Well, if you listen to the last segment, Ben kind of gave it a little bit of a hint.
No, I didn't.
But it's kind of a little bit of both. But Nico Hülkenberg officially to join Kick Sauber from Haas in 2025, which will eventually turn into Audi, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
So Nico Hülkenberg will be in Audi. Hülkenberg will leave Haas for Sauber in 2025. The two teams confirmed on Friday. This is from Nate Saunders of ESPN.
Wow.
Hülkenberg joined Haas in 2023 after three seasons without a full-time ride and has been one of the grid's informed drivers this season. The German driver will join Sauber on a multi-season deal 1 year before it becomes the Audi team in 26. So Nico Hülkenberg is already off to a new team, which means which Sauber driver will be returning, if either, which means Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guanyu are expected to leave the team at the end of the season, according to Nate Saunders. Sources said Carlos Sainz is still a strong candidate to join him at the team next season. And Haas is widely expected to go sign Ferrari reserve driver Ollie Bearman.
Yeah, so I think it could be a big Bearman to Haas move. What's weird about Hülkenberg is, I mean, he's not much better than Bottas. I don't know. And Zhou is kind of the same way. They're just kind of there. I just don't know. I don't know if Hülkenberg is a major upgrade. I think Bottas has, I don't know. Bottas is just a little bit more of a stable pair of hands, I think. I don't think it's an upgrade.
Do you think this? I mean, Nico Hülkenberg, the longest driver ever to go, the driver with the most races without a podium still to this day. Carlos Sainz still is probably, I'd say, the top free agent for next year.
Yeah, and they're gonna sign some A-list driver when they become Audi for sure.
That's true.
He's their number two. Hülkenberg is signed as a number two driver for sure.
Smooth operator, probably Carlos Sainz.
It's got to be.
That's true. A lot of this, we've had like kind of this, we've talked about this. This is the year for contracts for F1 races, F1 drivers. It's literally, it was like everyone but Charles, Max, and technically George, kind of, and Lando. So like everyone else seemed to be on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
We've already had a lot of announcements even before the summer break, which didn't really happen last year because, again, everyone really went to the same spot. So this is kind of cool after kind of making up for last year where there wasn't really much suspense or drama. Everyone kind of just went back to where they were. But, I mean, this could be a good move for him, especially, like, I don't think he ever really – I think he just saw Haas as another opportunity. He's kind of making the most of it right now. He didn't really do too much to impress last year.
I mean, he's gonna be their Sergio Perez. When Audi becomes a full works team, which is in 2026, so, I don't know. I think other guys that are available, like Gasly, Ocon, or Bottas, are probably not. I mean, they're basically on the same plane, but I think the reason why they went for Hülkenberg is because he's German. And that's not the main reason. You know, he's a good driver. He's reliable. He's consistent. He works better with a rear limited car and is pretty good at driving hard. You know, and these cars don't really require hard driving. They really require smooth driving and reward you being smooth. But, you know, 2026, the regulations changed. Audi might be like, hey, this guy's skills are what we need. And also he's German, which is a plus, you know, because there are lots of other good drivers right now on the market. You know, you got Bottas, Ocon, Gasly, Zhou. I mean, basically everybody. Sainz, there's so many people. I still don't think he's much of an upgrade over Bottas, but at least he's German. It kind of helps.
It helps sell the tickets, brother.
It does.
Maybe we get a German Grand Prix. I'm kidding. That's never going to happen unless they make a street circuit out in give me a German town, Greg. What's a German city?
Hamburg.
Hamburg.
Berlin.
Munich. Berlin. One of those they got to make a street circuit.
Just naming soccer teams.
Those are actual cities. Hamburg, Munich.
I know.
Berlin.
Yes.
Köln.
Huh?
Clearly, you don't know geography, brother.
What was the last one?
Köln. K-O-L-N.
No way, that's real, brother. I will say the internet's Twitter's reaction to this is also pretty good. I'm scrolling.
Oh, it's Cologne. Sorry.
I'm scrolling. Jesus Christ.
It's pronounced K-O with a K with the O and the E kind of smushed together.
Cologne.
L-N. Yes.
German geography with the boys.
Did you look at a pronunciation guide and just decide to?
Oh, it's, yeah, in German it's K-O-L-N.
Cologne.
That's what I was trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the English, it's Cologne.
Well, no, it's still pronounced Cologne. It's
it hit the O with the dots above it. Let's move on.
Okay.
We can ask Nico Hülkenberg. Somebody needs to ask him that during one of the press conferences. But, I mean, I'm looking through the Twitter comments right now. People seem to really, really like this. People want him to get a podium with Audi, and they can do it. They can do it. And I think he's a driver to maybe somehow – squeak one out. I do think he's going to be the second driver to Carlos Sainz when Audi gets that flip, and I think they're going to mostly use him as a testing guy to make sure the cars are all set up correctly and figure out where the car can be improved over the coming years. But either way, I think it's a good move for both Nico and Audi, as well as Kick Sauber for 1 year.
I think it's an interesting move. We'll see how that continues to go throughout the summer. And now, the more crazy news, Red Bull designer Adrian Newey wants to leave the team, reports. This is from Reuters. Adrian Newey, Formula One's most sought-after designer, wants to leave Champions Red Bull, according to media reports on Thursday. A Red Bull spokesperson said Newey was contracted until at least the end of 2025 and we are unaware of him joining any other team, which that means, if I'm not mistaken, if he's under contract till 25, if he wanted to leave or retire, he'd have to wait another year to come back, I'd imagine, or be under a no-compete clause.
He might go on gardening leave. If he does go on gardening leave, then yes, he would have a year. But like you said, if there's a clause in his contract, he could go to another team.
But he had to be in like a year non-compete clause because Rebel's yeah. not letting him walk for free and then go into one of their competitors.
Honestly, probably not. But if he does do that non-compete for a year, it's totally viable for him to start working on 2026 car of his own design. And then sell that to a team.
Like kind of be an independent contractor almost?
Sort of. What I'd suggest is if I was Adrian Newey and I wanted to stay in the business, didn't want to stay at Red Bull, what I would do is during that non-compete, just sketch some aero, you know? Do some aerodynamics. Why not? Right? You're the best at it, so go ahead, get a plan. And maybe send it off to one of your buddies who's also unemployed, David Sanchez, former Ferrari and McLaren employee, and send that off to him, and he can get it off to somebody else that can make a model of it and do CFD and do wind tunnel and do all this stuff. And I don't know, I guarantee that F1 doesn't allow you to do this, but it'd be super cool if, you know, hey, Adrian, maybe you should come up with a car concept for Andretti. That'd be super cool. I don't know. Hmm. Imagine that. Imagine an Adrian Newey Andretti, Adrian Newey aerodynamic led Andretti F1 team. Like, can I dream?
No, you can't, because I'm going to tell you my dream, and it's actually going to come true. Because I'm going to put it when I wish upon a star.
Oh.
Adrian Newey. Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, a car that is red. I swear if they match the overalls, I will come unglued. We will not have this podcast ever again.
The blue overalls are historically accurate.
I don't care. It needs to be red.
They're historically accurate.
You know what else is historically accurate?
What?
I don't know. You want to know why? Because I don't care about history. I care about the future. All right, I want to win, and I want to do it in a red car. And I tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to do it with Adrian Newey, Lewis Hamilton, and Charles Leclerc, and we're going to win every single title there is to win in the world of Formula One. And we might go off somewhere else and win those titles as well. We might go to the Super Bowl. We might go to the World Series. We might go to the Premier League or whatever the championship series is called. We might go to the NASCAR playoffs.
Wow.
And lose in the last round.
But can Ferrari win the stages?
Yes, we're going to win stage one and stage two, and then
lose Hamilton three. Handle the Roval?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, I think it's two options. I don't think he'd go to Mercedes. I think it'd probably either be maybe, could it be McLaren or Aston Martin? Because Aston Martin's just throwing bags right now.
He's not going back to McLaren.
So he's probably going to be like, what, probably Aston Martin, you think?
Probably.
But again, he's going to have to be on the sidelines next year, especially if he's already designing cars for Red Bull this year, which I imagine he's already started.
Braun GP just tweeted, hey Siri, call Adrian Newey.
But, I mean, he is the best designer in Formula One, so it's going to be very interesting to see where he goes, especially with, I don't know, if he tries to come out of retirement, Red Bull may still make a team pay them for that contract, because that is, again, he is under contract for another year, but if he doesn't do anything, then that contract still is, I believe, valid for at least two more years, or another year until the end of 25. Ben, am I sounding correct?
Let me think. How do I think about this? How do I put this?
It's great podcasting, everybody.
Yeah, dead air. Run that back.
Do you think Red Bull will still try to get them to honor that contract year, even though it's up for a year, but he's still technically under contract for another year?
No.
So he can't leave and not get paid. So that's what I'm saying. Like, someone's going to have to give him something. Like, he's going to have to be out for either A, multiple years, or B, a year, and then someone's going to have to pay for him.
I don't think that's if he takes time off, I mean, yeah, he's probably not gonna. Red Bull might have to give him paid time off. He might just be paid to not work.
I mean, he definitely is not gonna work next year. He's either working at Red Bull next year or nowhere, because they're not gonna let him walk with their designs
They can't not. You know, there's nothing that they can do to make him work.
I mean, that is true. Besides, yeah.
Contracts.
I want to see that contract. See, like, we're not going to be able to, but just to see what's in there in terms of what happens if he wants to leave, what happens if he wants to retire, what happens if he wants to leave for another team, if there's a not compete in there. Just all those little business word things you learn. Right, Noah? H-Cobb?
Heck yeah, man.
And with that, we're going to head to our next break. When we come back, we're doing something a little bit different. We're going to be talking about the Miami Grand Prix, since we won't be on the air next week. So we'll give you the full circuit breakdown and then our race predictions and previews. So do not go to where. Second half of the show is coming up next. You're listening to Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM.
Back, everybody. I don't even know why I do this bring back anymore, because most of you just stream it anyways. But we are the Smooth Operators. I'm your good friend Ben McClurkin. Joined alongside me is Griggs Blankenberg.
Hey.
And Noah Phillips on the board as always. Again,
we are a radio show first and foremost, man. All right,
until maybe
radio
next
is
year.
Not dead
until next year, maybe.
Radio is not dead. So everybody, we get to talk about a lovely little race in a parking lot. It's called the Miami Grand Prix.
I thought you were talking about the Dallas All-Star Race.
Oh, that too.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Noah's like, let me live.
Yeah.
No.
But again, Miami. The Formula One, Crypto.com. I can't believe that's still going on. Miami Grand Prix at the Miami International Autodrome outside the Hard Rock Stadium in, not Miami, it's in Miami Gardens, which is, I believe, 40 minutes away from Miami.
It's Coral Graves, isn't it?
I think so, Coral Graves, yeah. But this track opened in 2022, 57 laps, a circuit length of 5.412 kilometers, a race distance 308.326 kilometers. The lap record was broken last year by Mr. Max Verstappen with a 129.708. This track, whether you like it or not, 19 turns, three DRS zones, including one from almost turn 16 all the way down to turn 17. So two DRS zones in sector 3, one in sector 1, and one in sector 2. So a lot of speed on this track, a lot of open space. And Max Verstappen will try to get the three-peat as he tries to win this race the third year in a row. No one else has won this track. But boys, Miami.
Yes, sir. One of the tracks of all time.
It is certainly a track in America.
It is one of the tracks of all time. I mean, they made it considerably better last year from what it was in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. From the first year, I'd say. It made it much more watchable and enjoyable, I'd say.
Yeah, I just really, like, the only real issue that I have with this track, and I think it brings it down a lot, is the last part of Sector 2. 14 and 15, quick little chicane.
Yeah, that is a little weird.
It's just such a weird, like, timing thing, because if you drive it in the F1 games, you know what I'm talking about, where you come out of that, you have the little straightaway back into the left-hander that sends you on the big, big straight, and mm-hmm. it feels like you just can't get, like, ever an exit out of there, which I guess is the challenge, but at the same time, it breaks up the flow, I guess, is the correct verbiage. As well as also, I think it makes it harder for the production team down there in Miami to shoot this as well. And I think it shows up in the broadcast. But people were very, very excited about it. You go on TikTok, they got those edits now with that song that features Miami. So that's the only one they're using. Some rap song. I don't know. I listen to Real Country.
Walker Hayes.
No. But, I mean, I think it'll be fine. It's a race in America that'll drive probably the viewers up at least a good bit. DJ Khaled will get an opportunity to say another one during the press walk.
We the best. God did.
God did. And God did made this track. And it okay.
Mm-hmm. My only question is, where will the water be? And will it be real?
It was real last year.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. They put in real water last year.
There's no fish in that water.
There's no fish, but they made it real.
You can't go feed in that
they
water.
They better put fish in it.
I don't think they're going to do that, knowing Miami. But, I mean, this race should be good. I think we should be a good one for that straight line speed, kind of see if Red Bull can kind of continue that, where their main competitor there this year really is Ferrari. I mean, they're back now behind 44 points. So, I mean, they could, if barring a Red Bull not doing well, they could find a way to get some points back here, even potentially take the lead. Not likely. But, again, this is another race for the USA, and I'm excited for it. It's going to be in my time zone, even though I think I might still be here on that day. Ferrari's blue.
No, their uniforms are race suits.
No, they're blue.
The car is not blue.
They're adding blue to the car. Ferrari to add blue to iconic red F1 car Miami Grand Prix, according to ESPN, on, I believe that was Tuesday. Ferrari will race at the Miami Grand Prix with a color scheme featuring two different shades of blue to mark its history in the United States, the team announced on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Noah, your thoughts?
No.
No.
They're not. I don't care what ESPN says. I don't care what Ferrari says. That
you
car
remember
is
when
red.
I did the purple car?
It's becoming true.
You never come. I will come over there. I will come across this.
Guess
desk.
What time it is. It is time for blue car.
Hey, Bada, get a blue car. Come on.
Bada, get a blue.
Auburn.
Hey, what
if people going to make fun of us? They're going to be like, oh, Dynaco.
What if it's got this? Oh, nope. Hold up. Photoshop opened.
Shout out to
I can't wait to make Noah so pleased.
The
what
Auburn
if what if it's like that?
F1 group. No. No. No.
Noah hates history. Noah likes red.
I do like red. I want to watch car be real, real fast when it's red. It has two R's.
Mm-hmm.
Really fast and red has two R's, brother.
Okay. It's time to make it blue.
Ferrari has an R in their name. It should be red.
That's...
Make the car red. I don't care if you put a little blue in there like you did with the white back in Las Vegas. I don't think it's going to look good. That light blue with the red, it's just not... Because white you can do with the red and it still look very, very good. You can do it with black. But red and blue, you got to commit one way or the other to those colors.
I'm about to make you so happy.
They Ferrari is just thankful that they don't have me in their design department, because I would have shot that idea down quicker than somebody with an auto aim in Duck Hunt.
Whoa.
You ever played Duck Hunt before?
I haven't played Duck Hunt before. That was a good one. Yeah. Especially when you have like the actual, instead of using like
the controller,
you have like the actual
like laser pointer or whatever it's
laser
called.
Laser beam, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just make the car red, man. It's sip.
They're honoring 70 years since the manufacturer ended the United States. So.
But they didn't race in Miami. No, they've never.
Didn't they race at Daytona one race?
Yes. This race was at Watkins Glen, though.
Ah.
Which they have messed up. I don't know if y'all saw that.
Yeah,
that's
I saw
bad.
That.
Oh
the curbs?
Gosh. The curbs? Oh.
Oh, goodness.
Helps one series. That is okay there. Even then, like it.
Even then, the series isn't that good there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't touch the
I like the series there. And I don't get, like, I get.
You know the old saying, what ain't broke?
Don't
fix it. Fix it a lot. But no, I'm trying to look up other news about F1. There's a rumor from ESPN posted a day ago that Logan Sargeant may be replaced at Williams after the Miami Grand Prix.
I hate you.
As Ben shows a note, please Logan.
Please put that out on your Twitter so people can understand.
I will.
The
and
atrocities
we'll retweet it from the SMOP account.
You have committed here today on this holy ground.
We'll retweet that. Don't worry, Ben.
Thank you.
We can talk about this real quick. Logan Sargeant currently rumored to be replaced at Williams after the Miami Grand Prix.
By who?
With Andrea Kimi Antonelli, as poised as a potential successor.
Ooh, I kind of would like that.
That was posted by Sports Illustrated's Lydia May. Sorry if I missed up that pronunciation.
Let me see.
Let
me see it.
Lydia May or me. I don't know. But what are your thoughts on – what are y'all's thoughts on that? Do you think that he could be replaced? Because right now he's currently 21 in a race series with 20 drivers. Since technically there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 drivers without points.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will probably
– both Williams have no points.
I don't think they're going to replace him this year.
I wouldn't be too upset.
But I think if you give him another year, that's probably when they're going to do it.
I want to see Antonelli. I want to see what he can do.
I want to see an American.
I don't. Sargent's terrible. As much as I hate to say that, and I've been avoiding talking about it for weeks, Sargent's just not impressing me at all. Like, I get it. It's just there's better American drivers that could do the same job just as well. But, you know.
That is true. He just hasn't really.
I like him. He's a nice guy.
He's not really shown anything. He doesn't have too much, like, no. He doesn't have, like, the character factor. Like, he won't. He's not adding anything to the table, if that makes sense.
I totally agree.
Where, like, at least some other drivers have, like, a personality or something like that.
Sargent just seems kind of like a...
meh. Like, if you're going to be meh, you have to be good.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing with F1 kind of now, try to get those numbers up. Because what are they going to talk to him about, Driver Survive? So, you won the World Destructors Championship last year by almost $1 million. Care to comment?
No.
I mean, he has been kind of... I can't say this the word on here. He's been given a bad hand this year with how Williams has played their car, especially the chassis, where
he's
been sidelined one race, given an old car one race.
Yeah.
All this other stuff. It's just
a still broken car.
He deserves to be able to finish out the year just because of the way
He's been treated this.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially like he was doing good in the one race where they sidelined him.
Yeah, he was. In that Australia weekend, he was doing great.
And he's sidelined it. That he deserves to at least finish this year, but he's got to still perform this year, I'd say.
I agree.
Wheel go left, car go straight. That is still the funniest thing. Because, like, honestly, he did need to slow down probably in that moment.
Okay, but that's
it's just
crazy
how bad
that was.
It's such a difference. Like, that thing is turned all the way, and car just goes straight. It's amazing to watch.
It's not completely his fault.
I agree with Ben. That's true, but still, he needs to kind of at least show something in these races that he is racing in.
Yeah, but he's not impressed me even when he is.
I mean, that's true, yeah.
Given the short end of the stick, you know.
Yeah, same.
And when he has the chance, he doesn't take full advantage of it.
That's true.
I like him though.
I do too.
I want him to do well, but he's just not doing it.
He's not doing it. All right. And with that, we're going to head to our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Miami Grand Prix, who are picks and previews for this race, as well as our favorite moments from semester two of the SMOP experience, year two of the SMOP experience. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Smooth Operators on Wheel 91.1 FM.
Streets is cold and the beaches is warm. Of course, I'm talking about Miami, and you're listening to Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM, and we got some predictions for you folks as the F1 circus is taken down to Miami.
We do indeed. It's time for our picks for the next weekend's Miami Grand Prix, and we're going to start with pole position. So, Ben, who will be getting pole position?
Who?
Matt's Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen.
I'm gonna go Max Verstappen as
not
well.
Very creative of me.
It's not creative. We just like to get things right here. I mean, I could say Logan Sargeant just because it's American,
but
it's not gonna be. It's gonna be wrong.
You can also be wrong.
It's like saying that like if I was gonna give you, I don't. That's a weird. I was gonna do that example. All right.
Okay.
Next one up.
We don't need examples. You've made your point.
Yeah. Normal prediction, Ben.
No predictions, Griggs. A little quiet on
I
your
said
race
Max.
Predictions.
I said Max.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What about Noah?
I also said Max. Everybody's
wow,
saying Max.
Y'all
wow.
ran through
you can
that.
Ask a random.
Y'all ran through that.
We got to get time, man.
I'm over here photoshopping my
move your mic and move your mic in front of your mouth.
Thanks.
I'm Ben, sorry. Normal prediction.
Normal prediction. I would love to see a little DNF action. I'd say three DNFs.
I already brought up my normal prediction earlier on in the show. Give me DJ Khaled down on the press walk.
There you go.
Or pre-race walk.
I love it.
Give me... I'm going to go Lewis Hamilton P7 or above.
Okay.
I think he'll kind of bounce back a little bit here. Wild prediction.
Wild prediction. Ferrari double DNF.
Whoa.
The story is just too good. He has to finish the story. Mm. Logan Sargeant gets points.
There you go. Gonna go Daniel Ricciardo to finish top six.
What?
Kind of redemption as well. He's gonna finish that story. Show that he deserves that there. So I'm gonna go Daniel Ricciardo.
That's not a story, that's a fantasy book.
I'm gonna still finish the story. And finally, our race, our podium.
Greg's being grounded in reality? No, never.
All right, Ben.
It's a crazy prediction though. Like, you gotta.
I've bet more crazy predictions go right on the show than anyone else.
That's true. But, yeah, you throw a lot out at the wall and something's going to stick, right? Anyway.
Eventually the wall's going to come down.
Maybe. Ben.
Griggs knows what he's talking about.
Ben, top three.
Top three. What? Okay.
Podium, sorry.
Podium.
Whatever we say.
Yeah. Top three, podium, whatever. Verstappen. Give me Perez. And I think Ferrari's going to have a good weekend. They're going to come back. Despite their double DNF. And Charles Leclerc is going to be on third.
So Ben's either going to be really right or...
Really, really wrong.
Actually, no. You were in a win-lose situation.
No, I'm in a lose-lose
situation. Yeah, you're
situation.
Actually in a
lose-lose. No, I'm okay
Sergio
with it.
Sergio Perez loses two cars, gets in another one midway through, and then crashes it. That's where the money's at.
That's where the money's at.
I would sell tickets, brother.
All right. Would. No.
Well, P3... I'm going to go Sergio Perez. P2, I'm going to go Max Verstappen. And well, everybody talks about the California quakes, but the first time I ever felt the earth shake was in Miami as Charles Leclerc shook me and is going to finish first next weekend down as he races around Hard Rock Stadium.
So Leclerc won. Who else?
Max 2 and... Sergio Perez, 3.
So Ferrari, if Ferrari wins in the blue, they have to keep it, right?
No.
You have to say something, though. You're going to need a
statement. I will say nice things about the color blue.
I'm going to request a statement if they win in blue.
I will make a thread on Twitter about how I like the color blue if Ferrari wins in Miami.
There you go. Lando Norris, P3. Carlos Sainz, P2, Max Verstappen, P1.
Okay.
I see it. I see division.
You see division. All right.
I can't visualize math like that.
We have officially concluded our second full school year edition of Smooth Operators. We started back in, I believe, September or October? I think end of September of 22. We are now in April of 2024. So what was y'all's favorite memory from this school year's edition of Smooth Operators?
Well, we didn't have any Michael Schumacher moments, so it's going to be tough. But I think my favorite was that preseason testing episode that we did when we were like, what has Red Bull cooked up? Because I think we all knew that something was happening, and boy, did it. Something crazy did happen, and... They're just as good last year, if not better. So, that would be mine. I think we were all kind of dreading the Red Bull dominance, and we have been precise in our assessment of how that all...
Hey, some other team won earlier this year, though, so you never know.
Yeah, Ferrari did win earlier.
No.
And guess what, bro? They're going to win again this coming up Sunday in Miami. I honestly, from the semester... Yeah, for the semester, because we aren't talking about before Christmas.
You can if you want to. I don't care. We make.
Well, I gotta stick to the gimmick, man. I can't just.
That's true.
You know. But honestly, man, it's just been a lot of fun on here. I especially liked the talk earlier today about the German geography.
That was a good one.
That was a pretty good moment. I'm pretty proud of that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud to have my name attached to that moment in time. but yeah, I mean, this whole year has been utterly fantastic from all three of us.
Yeah.
Really give ourselves a round of applause.
I think we should. We really have been in a great spot.
I'd say my favorite moments is like how we handle kind of the off-season news, because in the past we just been dreading kind of waiting for that kind of those car launches. Then we were actually given news to talk about this year.
Yeah,
so that was really nice, and I enjoyed that. I'm excited for this upcoming year, but we're gonna close in just a second. Our plans for the summer, kind of gonna go similar, kind of what we did last year. We're gonna be off for a week this week, and then we'll be back. I think we're maybe gonna continue on Sunday nights, but that will be, I think, podcast only. If I'm correct,
we will figure that out. It'll most likely be podcast only.
Definitely no show next week.
No show next week, as finals will have kicked me in the ribs while we're down. Mm-hmm. And we'll all need a week to recover.
But yes, follow our Twitter at SMOP Podcast if you do feel so inclined for updates on our next plan. We will let you know about that. But we will definitely be having something for you guys to hear and listen to this year, because we can't go without F1's main part of their calendar and not talk about anything of it. But mm-hmm. we still know kind of what we did last year. Just we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, that will do it for school year two of Smooth Operators Live in the Bradley Basin Studios. We got one more year to go here, and we'll do it well. But with that, thank you for tuning in to Smooth Operators. If you missed any of today's show, you can check it out on your favorite podcast platform after the show is uploaded. But until we meet again through the digital airwaves, for Ben McClurkin, no fellas, I'm Greg Splangberg. This has been Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM. We will see you live and in person back again next August. We'll see you this summer some too. But until then, have a great weekend and War Damn Eagle.
That's all we have today for Smooth Operators, Weagle's exclusive F1 show. In case you missed some of the show or just want to relive all your favorite parts, check us out on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Till next time, this has been the smoothest operators of Weagle 91.1 FM.